Welcome to Political Rewind. I'm Bill Nygut. I'm glad you could be with us for our show today. We've got a lot to talk about. Very quickly, I'll say, of course, you can watch us on Facebook Live. Just go to the GPB News page on Facebook, and you'll find us there. Also, remember, we're on the TV now on Sunday mornings at 9 a.m., the GPB TV version of Political Rewind. And this Sunday, we're going to be doing a completely original show, so you will want to tune in to see fresh content on Sunday. With me today, Kevin Riley. He's the editor of the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. Thanks for being here, Kevin.
Always a pleasure, Bill.
Howard Franklin, Democratic political consultant and government relations advocate down at the Capitol. Who do you have in this particular election cycle, Howard?
I'm a very interested observer. I've been a surrogate for the Abrams campaign, but not working for anyone otherwise.
Oh, okay. Okay, I didn't realize that, but thanks for clarifying. Leo Smith is here. He's a Republican insider, longtime Republican strategist, worked on diversity for the Georgia Republican Party, and now you're off on your own, making magic in the political world.
Still working on some policy issues, working with Joe Profit for Congress right now in Georgia's 4th
district. 4th
district,
yeah. Okay. And we're also joined by Tim Echols, Public Service Commissioner. Tim, we're going to come right to you. We appreciate your being here because we want to talk about the developments this week in the Plant Vogtle nuclear plant expansion. So let me just very quickly run through a couple of figures, and then you tell me if I've got this right. So, first of all, Southern Company, Georgia Power, is responsible for building this project. This was their plan. They wanted to do it because they said they wanted to have capacity to provide electricity well into the end of the 21st century and beyond.
Yeah, so Georgia Power is one of the owners,
right,
and Southern Nuclear is the lead contractor and builder, a division of the Southern Company.
They have partners across the state, across the region, really. MEAG, which is an electrical co-op or electrical corporation that services many cities and communities in
That's
the
right.
state, right?
That's right.
Oglethorpe Power, which primarily works with rural communities. Am I going on the right track so
well,
far?
Oglethorpe has as its members EMCs that are nonprofit corporations like Jackson EMC, Walton EMC, and others, including Cobb. But Cobb has no share of the plant. So not every EMC has a piece of the plant.
Okay. So not long ago, Georgia Power, which has had trouble with this project from the start, said, this is costing us more and taking us a lot longer than we ever expected. And just to put the simplest perspective on this, to say, they said, oh, this is going to cost us $2.7 billion more than we had anticipated. It's going to take till 2022 to get it put together. And at that moment, it triggered the ability of MEAG, Oglethorpe Power, and what other, Dalton is in there
Dalton
somewhere?
Dalton Utilities, yes.
That gave them a legal right to determine whether they wanted to continue paying to build these new towers, right?
Yeah, so these companies have been in a long-time partnership together. Remember, Vogtle Units 1 and 2 built in 1987, 1989. It almost bankrupted Georgia Power then, and those companies stepped in and became partners. And so since that time period, they've been using that electricity. It's been the cheapest in the entire generation fleet. It has been a good partnership. And frankly, things were going peachy on this project until Westinghouse went bankrupt.
Right.
Because
right.
then we lost our fixed and firm contract. Then we lost any kind of a semblance of a cost cap that we had. And that's when the project became extremely risky.
And Kevin, just to be sure that our listeners don't think we're just having this kind of academic conversation, this becomes important because every one of us who gets electrical power in the state of Georgia has a stake in this. We are going to probably be paying for a long time on our electric bills some of the costs of this.
Right. We already are, right, Tim? I mean, we are already paying for this.
You're paying the interest for it now.
Right. And don't forget, I mean, when the project was conceived, right, Tim, this was at a time when coal-fired plants had really become anathema. I mean, people wanted to get out of coal, and in Georgia Power's analysis, nuclear was the most efficient way to produce power.
Yeah, because natural gas was double the price then than it is now.
So a lot of things have changed. And tell me if I have this right. Originally, $14 billion project, supposed to be done by 2017. Now, not going to finish it until at least 2022 and at least $27
billion. Yes, pretty much doubled.
All right. So yesterday, MEAG met and voted to stay in this partnership.
Unanimous. Despite the lobbying from Jacksonville Electric and all the full-page ads that they took out.
But today, as Drew Dawson,
we're not against full-page ads, Tim. Let me be clear.
Today, as Drew Dawson mentioned in our newscast, we've got Oglethorpe Power right now meeting to decide whether they want to stay in or not. And apparently one of their conditions is going to be that Georgia Power has got to cap the amount of money they can continue to spend so the consumers won't pay anything over the cap. Is that correct?
Yes, but the PSC has already considered this cap, and we did not put a cap on this project. And the burden of proof will be on Georgia Power at the end of this project to show that they have spent this money prudently, which is what the legislature set up as kind of the bar for this in terms of getting the money reimbursed to you or having the consumers pay for it. And we're going to, as the PSC, adjudicate whether things are prudent or not. So this cost cap that, you know, that Oglethorpe is coming up with, in my opinion, is more saber-rattling as they attempt to renegotiate, you know, under the terms of their partnership agreement.
Howard, what Oglethorpe Power is saying about this, to put it in their words, is they want to protect their consumers, their electrical customers, from paying even more exorbitant costs on top of what they're already going to pay.
It's incredible that an election year, with the numbers that Kevin just gave us, 5 years behind, double the price and an extra $13 billion, I'm sorry, that this hasn't become more of a campaign issue from the top of the ticket all the way to the PSC. I mean, I know that the PSC candidates on the other side of the aisle have been talking about this and they've had no choice but to, because that's what they're there for. But the idea that this has not made it to the state legislature or to constitutional offices, it surprises me. Maybe it's an indication of how strong the economy has been thus far, that people aren't complaining about these rates.
And this move hasn't been made yet, because with the other partners, there are, what, three other partners?
Yes.
Right. So those other partners now have to answer to their consumers. Don't you care about us as much as Oglethorpe cares about its consumers? And I think soon we're going to have a political movement here.
Well,
yeah, 44 days.
understand that because these are union workers, almost 7,000 of them out there working today, that fact has kept this from becoming more of a political football, because both Democrat and Republicans don't want to lose those jobs.
All right. Thank you for setting the stage. Thank you all for weighing in. We're out there fundraising right now. We want to keep the show moving forward. We want to keep it going. We're now on 4 days a week. That costs money. So what we're going to do is we're going to take a quick break, and then we'll come back and we'll continue this important conversation. Just want to remind you all that we are in a pledge drive here. We need your support to continue the fine programming that we present on GPB Radio. You've allowed us to expand to 4 days a week here on Political Rewind, and we're glad you like the show enough to want us to be on the air that often. Now you can help us by going to gpbnews.org, click on donate, and make a contribution today. Thanks very much, Bradley and Cindy. Tim Echols, Public Service Commissioner, is with us. We have placed in front of your position, Tim, because you said you wanted to pledge and to get a Political Rewind cup. There's two of them sitting in front of you. So thank you. Hold on to your check. I won't take it, because who knows what I'll do with it.
Yeah, I don't think you can be trusted. There's a reason they don't have you handling that.
Thank you for your pledge. I know you've been a supporter of GPB for a long time.
I have, and it is so great to support this station and the programming, and it's my pleasure, whether I get the cups or not, but I'm happy to have the cups.
You've got them right there.
Yeah.
By the way, Catherine Cummings, who's a longtime listener and Facebook watcher, says, who would have thought that for the political rewind would go to 4 days a week and have swag as well. So we appreciate the fact that we've got both loyal listeners and swag to give away. All right, let's get back to the topic at hand. Tim, just to set the stage for the rest of this discussion, and I want to get everybody involved. Tell us what the public service, we now know that we're going to wait to see what Oglethorpe Power decides here. I mean, Oglethorpe Power could vote to pull out its funding from this project, especially because they keep saying, we want a cap, and George Power's, you don't believe George Power will give them one, right?
No, I don't think they will. And so if they did say, we're not moving forward without a cap, we're going to leave the project, then what they're leaving behind is the $3.5 billion they've invested, right? And then they're going to have to repay that federal loan guarantee instead of 20 years. They're going to have to pay it in 5 years, and they're going to have nothing to show for it.
Well, this is why on this show several months ago, you made news when you said you believe this project is too big to fail. But let's ask this. What, to frame the rest of what we talk about, what power does the Public Service Commission have at this point in terms of cost overruns, in terms of how much is passed on to consumers going forward, so that we know what we should expect from you?
Yeah, really, Georgia Power's in the driver's seat right now. If Oglethorpe leaves, Georgia Power could create a new partnership with another partner to take their place. I don't think that's going to happen.
Do you have the power to shut this project down?
We do have the power to shut the project down, but why would we shut the project down? I mean, the PSC is cheering that we're going to be able to keep it open.
Well, Kevin, one of the reasons you might look at whether you want the project going or not is because you and I are going to end up paying for it.
Right. You know, that. Let me try this something with you, Tim, and just kind of going back to basics. And I've had, you know, many a conversation with Paul Bowers, the CEO of Georgia Power, because we report all the time on the trouble that's come along with this plant. So just for, like, an average ratepayer out there, right? So how did this happen? What was the first thing that got this thing off schedule, both financially and with its construction timeline?
Well, we don't have enough time to talk about all the problems that we've had at
that's
the plant.
Why I asked
welding,
about the,
welding,
the
rebar,
first thing.
Cement. The first thing was the welding, that we had a oil and gas welder in Lake Charles, Louisiana, that did not do the work up to spec, and it began to throw us off of the timetable.
But wasn't part of the problem that this was such an aggressive plan, betting a little bit on technology and other construction methods that had not been used before or weren't absolutely proven out? Wasn't that part of it?
Yes, it was a just-in-time type of a construction project. And had we to do over it again, I much would rather start it now after seeing the Chinese build four of them than be doing it at the same time. So I think the timing, if we had it to do over again, we would probably do it different.
One more question. I always want to know this one, too. So it's a $14 billion project at the start. And as it's delayed, when you are financing that much money, each delay causes expenses to grow simply because the financing is stretched out.
That's right.
Is that correct? So just how much of the trouble is that? Just that it's taking longer, it's going to cost more because it takes longer.
Yeah, the initial overruns were all interest because the company that was building it, they were responsible to build it right. So they would say, oh, we'll do it again. Okay, that's fine. Fix it. Do it again. But in the meantime, we've lost 6 months. We've lost nine months and the money associated with that.
So, Leo, Howard raised a question a little while ago, said, gee, I can't imagine, understand in a political year like this, an election year, why this hasn't become more of a political issue. In fact, Stacey Abrams she's been cautious about this, but she's essentially said she likes the fact that, as Tim Echols pointed out, there are anywhere from 5,000 to 7,000 people working out there on this project near Augusta. So it is a jobs project. I haven't heard Brian Kemp on this subject at all, and maybe I'm just missing something.
You know, I think early on, as this subject became more and more one that we knew we were going to have to deal with, as the cost overruns were amassing, people talked about the $80 an hour jobs that were some of the folks who were blue collar, but they were having jobs like that. And I think that that really rung at something that Republicans and conservatives in this state wanting to protect jobs and wanting to protect hardworking rural Americans in Augusta project, that made sense for us. We are looking for how to make rural Georgia more relevant, more part of the economic success of Georgia. And so, yes, I think that's modulated some comments about this project, but I think we're going to get overwhelmed.
There's going to be more. I think we've got the Rural Prosperity Summit next week that'll be down in Tifton. I know Georgia Ford is putting together its annual conference in Macon, October 8th and 9th. I'm sure that these confluences and confabs of leaders at the public sector level will have something to say about it. The problem is it's a rock in a hard place. I think as the commissioner's already kind of
Howard, I think that's a really important comment. You know, the Public Service Commission is dominated by Republicans right now. In the two races that Democrats are challenging right now, Lindy Miller and
Dawn Randolph,
neither of them have weighed in as to whether they think the project should be continued or shut down. And as we said a minute ago, Stacey Abrams has said, gee, it's great that it's creating all these jobs. So this is a tough one in an election year, Tim.
Yeah, and I don't think you'll hear any of the candidates saying anything other than put a cap on it. And I know that there were a number of Republican legislators last week who sent a letter, and I think OPC has kind of seized on that. And I don't know that there were
Oglethorpe Power, OPC.
I don't one of the partners. I don't know that there's been collusion between those legislators and OPC. But
there's no collusion.
Well,
there's no collusion.
I really got to get to another break. But I will say there are 21 legislative leaders who a few years ago had the opportunity to try to impose a cap and voted against doing it. Now they're saying there ought to be
18 of them
one.
Republican, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah. All right. I've got to get to another break because Cindy Hill and Bradley George are eager to talk to you about supporting all the radio programming we do here at GPB. Let me turn it over to them, and then let's keep this conversation going. Welcome back to Political Rewind. We think this conversation, Tom Faust just came into the studio and agreed with me that this conversation about Plant Vogel is a good one. We want to continue it. We may or may not get to news about Brian Kemp today or about Brett Kavanaugh, but we certainly will pick up on all of that on tomorrow's show. In the meantime, two notes. Number one, the judge in the Cosby trial just sentenced Bill Cosby to 3 to 10 years in prison. And said that he will go to prison defined as a sexual predator, which was something that he and his defense team had tried very hard to avoid because it puts a stigma on him beyond his prison sentence. And second, we now have news that Lisa Murkowski, one of the Republican members of the U.S. Senate, who the Trump people are counting on to vote in favor of Brett Kavanaugh, has now said she wants to hear from the second accuser, Deborah Ramirez, on Thursday. That doesn't mean she's not going to vote for Brett Kavanaugh, but it does at least, Kevin, suggest that she's now got some significant doubts.
The plot thickens without question.
Yeah. All right, Tim, let's get back. We have Tim Echols from the Public Service Commission here along with Howard Franklin and Leo Smith. Tim, what are the next steps on this thing? You say that the Public Service Commission has three steps that you can take. And again, I want to emphasize the reason this is not just an arcane academic conversation is that my wallet, your wallet, all of us have a stake in this. We will pay higher power costs at some point as this moves forward.
So if there can't be an agreement today with Oglethorpe Power, one of the partners with Georgia Power, then it will trigger a cancellation of the agreement that they have, and we'll have about 60 days to be able to put something else together. That would be Georgia Power looking for another partner, trying to figure out a way to replace someone to take that share of electricity, 30%, which is about 660 megawatts. It's a lot of power. And how do you hold the 6,000 workers there? These are subcontractors. These are union workers. How do you craft labor? How do you hold them there? Because it could take months to be able to ink a deal. And if nothing can be worked out, then Georgia Power would come to the commission and they would file for a cancellation. It would trigger hearings and discussions and significant regulatory proceedings. And we've got to decide how much are they going to get to recover from ratepayers? How long are they going to amortize it? And what's going to be the carrying cost of that? It's going to be enormous.
So wait, Georgia Power could cancel the project on their own, but they have to come to the PSC to determine. You're the ones who are going to decide how much of the cost is going to be recouped in terms of higher electrical bills, is what I think I heard you say.
If they want ratepayers to pay for this, which is what the law requires, then they've got to come to us. They've got to do the filing. But I really don't think this is going to happen.
Tim, so just to the sense of urgency on this is that Oglethorpe has until when today?
5 o'clock today.
At 5 o'clock, something's going to happen.
Yeah, they'll either relent from this cap or some other deal will be worked out.
So I'm a ratepayer, average person paying my bill. What's wrong with a cap? Why wouldn't Georgia Power or everyone say, well, this has gone on long enough. We don't want this to be just an open spigot that never turns off.
Well, especially because Southern Company stands to make enormous profits down the road off of this plant.
I mean, who doesn't want a cap? But from Southern's perspective, it's going to increase risk. It's going to drive up the cost of borrowing. Wall Street could possibly derate them further. It's going to eventually drive up cost to retail customers.
So, can we look at this from another direction? So, acknowledging that there's a ton of profit potential for the partners who are involved, is there a way to back end and to lower rates for ratepayers down the road when this project, you know, does ultimately get finished? Is that a possibility or legislatively something that PSC can enforce?
At the beginning, it was going to be lower rates. But as the cost has increased, the value has eroded. And so now it's pretty much a break-even deal. It's still a value. And the thing that will make it most valuable is if the life of the plant was extended from 60 to 80 years, that would give the most value.
I need to jump in because I think listeners could fairly hear this afternoon you arguing Georgia Power's side of this rather than the consumer side of this. It sounds like you are defending Georgia Power and Southern Company moving forward. And I just want to give you a chance to tell us if I'm hearing that right, or if you feel your obligation is just as strong to the customers who are buying power from these companies.
At the current numbers that we're at on this plant, it is still of value to the Georgia Power customers. Just a half a mile from here on the Georgia Tech Rec building, there's solar panels that were put up for the Olympics, and they're disconnected now because they don't work anymore. That's a 20-year life. Those panels don't work anymore. These plants operate 60, 80 years. We're talking about something that has enormous staying power and enormous value. The plant originally built in 87 and 89. So do I want the plant to be finished? Yes. Why? Because we've spent $5 billion and I don't want to waste it and leave that stuff rusting until Jesus comes.
So you believe, I want to be fair with you. So you believe, you believe you're not arguing in some way as an advocate of the Georgia Power Company, but rather you believe this technology will pay off great rewards moving forward. Is that a fair way to say it?
Because I believe that there will be a Congress and a president in the future that imposes a tax on carbon, and that it is to our ratepayers' benefit to have a lot of our power generated by carbon-free assets.
How do you hear that, Leo?
I mean, I'm still stuck on some of the cost overrun, and maybe because the people in the know, who's unlike me, the energy consumer, the people sitting around the table who are making this decision, they are familiar. 1970, Vogtle plants 1 and 2, $800,000.
1987, 1989.
But then it ended up $8.9 billion. So we had cost overruns.
$8 billion finished price, yes.
So to the people around the table who are involved in this, this is not an unusual increase or overrun.
Well, I think everybody's forgotten about that. They've forgotten about it, and those plants that were originally way over budget have provided the best value. So what people aren't aware of is that the power company will get their money, the money they've spent, and we will have nothing to show for it.
And I think part of the question here for ratepayers, for Georgians, we don't have anything to compare this to, right? We've talked about this, the advent of renewable and clean energy. And you mentioned, Tim, the solar panels that no longer work on the side or on the top of the school. I think as renewable energy plays a larger role and a larger part in the energy portfolio for the state, then we'll be in a position to say, is this a smart decision or is there a better way to spend ratepayers' money? But I think absent a real comparison, it is difficult to say we'd be better off not having made this decision.
I've got to take a break. We're going to keep this going. I think people who are responding on Facebook Live want to hear more about this. So when we come back, we're going to throw it over to Cindy and Bradley again. We'll come back and we'll keep talking with our panel and Tim Eccles. We're back. Just a quick program note. As I said earlier, this discussion about Plant Vogtle has become, I think, pretty interesting, and your comments suggest that you agree. So we're going to talk more about the politics, about the gubernatorial race tomorrow, about the Brett Kavanaugh a hearing on Thursday, which is going to have enormous consequences in state politics, interestingly enough. And on that show, Julianne Thompson will be here, and so will one of your very favorites, Buddy Darden. So we know you always love it when Buddy comes in, and Julianne is a great match for him. Kevin, we should point out that this is the only nuclear power power plant construction going on in the country right now. Everybody else has backed out of their plans for nuclear. And some of our listeners are asking, I think appropriately, why not be exploring more alternative energy sources? Why does the Public Service Commission seem to feel they can't push Georgia Power in that direction?
Well, don't forget, I mean, as we were talking a little bit earlier when we were off the air, that when this decision was made, Georgia Power, I think, had to show the Utilities Commission over and over and over again that this was the most efficient way to create the power that Georgia would need at the scale that the growth of the state
That's
required
right.
them to create it.
But you have a lot of people, Tim, who are commenting on Facebook Live who feel mistrusting, who believe that you all are on the side of the most powerful company in Georgia rather than being on the side of the consumer.
Okay, listeners, let me remind you of two things. Number one, in 2013, when Georgia Power didn't want to build any solar power at all, Commissioner McDonnell, me and Commissioner Everett said, you're going to build 525 megawatts whether you want to or not. And we made them. We made them do that.
And they were very skeptical
they
of
were
solar.
Skeptical. Yeah. And now we've got almost 15 million solar panels in Georgia. We're 10th in the nation. So I don't like it when people say, look, you're just a pawn of the power company. We're not. We made them do that. And let me remind you that Georgia Power wrote off $1.1 billion a couple of weeks ago. Why? Because they wanted to, out of the goodness of their heart? No, they knew that the commissioners would say no.
All right, so Howard, we hear Tim's passion. Let me bring it back to something we talked about earlier. You said at the very beginning, it's surprising this isn't a bigger political issue in an election year. But it appears that it's not, from my point of view, because no one's quite sure where they think they're best off standing. I mean, you don't have Democrats running, for instance, on a platform of saying, we're going to shut down this expansion of Plant Vogtle, and we're going to put the PSC in its place.
No,
it's not happening.
You don't have that. I think in part because we haven't had enough conversations like these where people can really get a sense of understanding how far afield this entire project has gone. But I think your other point is absolutely well taken. I think that there's not a safe place to stand, and you're going to offend someone no matter what position you take if you're going to take a hard line against the plan. I think there are other things where worth fighting over. And I think most of the prudent politicians who are on the ballot in November say, hey, I could win or lose my race by talking about something else.
Leo, would you advise a candidate you were representing to get involved in this fight?
Not when there's things that people understand much better.
I mean, it's a complicated issue.
This is an education curve that has to happen here. And when you start talking about things that are well over the head of a lot of people, or it's so guarded and it's part of a small group discussion, that's not a good move. So I would hold on it.
I think it's actually a welcome sign, because I've been in politics in Georgia long enough to remember when a candidate on either side of the party would boil this down to a bumper sticker, facts and all the complexity be damned, and just rail against one side or the other. So the fact that we haven't had a number of politicians get out there and just say, hey, shut the damn thing down, we're done with it, we've already overrun by years and by billions, I think actually says a lot about, what it means to be the best place to do business in the country. And I think that's a testament to both parties at this point.
And I think, Bill, most people realize that Westinghouse going bankrupt and leaving us in a very difficult position wasn't something of our own making. It was something that was foisted upon us, and we are trying to make the best of it. And we had a chance to see South Carolina shut theirs down. We saw what happened. Moody's downgraded the whole state. It had very negative economic consequences with the loss of all those jobs, and we didn't want any of that. So what choice did we have but to persist and continue and try to put some penalties in if Georgia Power was late? But we don't want to shut this plant down unless we have to.
Last question, Kevin.
All right, so I'm an average ratepayer, and you're obviously on the side of let's finish this plant. You've said it's too big to fail. Give me the main reason why I should swallow those rate hikes and trust you on this.
Well, you haven't had to pay for it yet. The capital cost of this plant won't go into rates until 2023. We've said it's going to be between 8 and 12%. Right now, today, it's about 11%, so we don't have a lot of headroom left. So your bill will go up in 2023 about 11 or 12%, but you're going to have a plant that's going to produce carbon-free electricity for 60 to 80 years. To me, that is a good investment. And we haven't raised rates, base rates in this state since 2013. I think we have done a good job of managing this. We are a great state to do business in. We do attract manufacturers, and we want to continue with that because that provides for a great economy.
All right. Very, very interesting conversation. Tim Echols, thank you for being here. Leo Smith, we love having you, and you too, Howard Franklin, Kevin Riley. Hope you're going to be back with us again next Tuesday. That seems to be your day to join us for Political Rewind.
I'll be here.
All right. We're going to get out of the way a little early today to make room for a little bit more about how you can help support the work we're doing here at GPB Radio. So I'm going to throw it back to Cindy Hill and to Bradley George. And I'm going to drink a toast to all of you out there who joined us on Twitter and Facebook Live with my Political Rewind ceramic solo cup. We'll see you tomorrow with Julianne Thompson and Buddy Darden. Take care. We're out of time for today's show.